thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Ray, can you talk?
I can hear you. You're going in and out now. It sounds like we are there.
Go ahead.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray and Wally. Will T is out. We're experiencing some technical difficulties. But before we get started, we have to acknowledge something that obviously took place while we were off there. And that's the Washington Nationals are World Series champs.
Sure are. They are. I'm good. I'm right. Had to change mics.
Hey, things happen. I'm here to hold you down.
I know, I appreciate you. Yeah, the Washington Nationals are World Series champions.
But as you can see, I'm rocking my Mystic shirt for the simple fact that
they ain't getting no love in the city.
Nah, I ain't gonna say that. They getting plenty of love. The Capitals seem to curve them on social media, but it's all good. I'm just saying that they get forgot about when you think about the District of Champions. However, It's all about the Nationals right now.
They get curved. I mean.
They got curved by the Caps.
It's hard because the parade, right? We couldn't get an opportunity to celebrate their parade because, I mean, they for obvious overseas. Reasons, though. Yeah, because they have to go overseas.
Well, yeah, it's not that. It's just what Natasha Cloud complained about on Twitter was that the Capitals, being under the Monumental Sports umbrella, did not mention them in their tweet.
Yeah.
So she was a little heated. She was more than heated. It seemed like.
You know what? There's folks in terms of local radio is doing the same thing, too.
But it would also be cliche. If I just rock a national shirt today, because there's so many fake national fans. I think you sent me a text about that.
It's phony, man.
It was a dude at my at one of my places of employment. You know, I'm multifaceted when it comes to working. But he's like, yeah, you like Rendon? I'm like, okay, you called him Rendon. I know you don't really watch the Nationals right now. You just kind of riding the wave because.
You called him what?
Rendon. Not Rendon, Rendon. Rendon? Call Anthony Rendon Rendon.
Oh, phony.
So, yeah.
He's
not a real fan. I knew that all the jump. And he had no idea when I was kind of kicking some baseball talk to him. I'm like, you know what? I would think about signing Gerrit Cole, which I'm going to ask about in a minute here. and if Rendon, you know, walks, he walks. But right now, Scott Boras holds the cards. My gosh.
Yeah, doesn't he? He's a boss, man. He a don right now in this baseball game. Let me say it correctly. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole Ray, GZ, Will T.
Oh, was correct when I said it?
No, you did. I didn't know for sure you said it or not. I wanted to make sure I said it.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but he's not here. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Ray mentioned it, the Washington Nationals winning the World Series. We'll talk Nats. Kevin Nibley will join the show to discuss this. At 8:20, we'll break down Washington Redskins quarterback Dwayne Haskins' first start. At 8:30, we'll chat about the Washington Wizards moving Isaiah Thomas to the starting lineup. At 8:40, we'll talk about the Washington Capitals with WNXT's Caps insider Ed Frankovic. We'll have the homie back on the show. It's been a while. At 8:50, we'll talk about Canelo Alvarez moving up to TKO Sergio Kovalev to become the WBO light heavyweight champion. Finally, at 9 o'clock, we'll make our Week 10 picks a little overtime. But first, right now we have... Talk Nats, Kevin Nibley on the line. What's going on, Kevin? The Nats are champs. How do you feel about it?
Pretty amazing. I think we talked about a week ago, right before Game 6, and I don't think anyone would have predicted it. So, yeah, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in baseball, to be honest.
Kev, I just want to thank you for your dedication to coming on to the show because a lot of times it's hard to get people when your team is actually out there playing. And you came on during the first inning last week. You were still on the air. I was listening. I wasn't here. And I'm like, dang, you know, I just want to show you some love for that.
No, to be honest, I think the first time we did it was the wild card game. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking, it might have been like Q-nothing them, and I was kind of like, why am I doing this? Like, we're losing, and like, I kind of want to watch the game. Yeah. It's going to be our last game of the season, but no, I honestly, I don't want to give your show like all the props for it, but at a certain point, when you asked me to do it last week, I'm like, well, I have to do it, because I did it with you before the wildcard game, right. I did it with you before Game 5 against the Dodgers, and I did it with you, you guys are the lucky charm.
I knew that was going to happen. I told you. It's something about being a fan of superstitions, dog. It's all about about that life. I told you, Ray, man. So when you see me doing that with Skins games, don't judge me. Do not judge me. All right. Hey, did you go to the parade, Kev?
I did not. I wasn't able to make it to the parade. My girlfriend, actually, I think, was, like, a little annoyed that, like, she, you know, there was, like, a month where I was just sitting in front of the TV being a psycho. So, you know, once we won, it was kind of hard to sell her on the idea that I'd have to go out of town for the weekend to the parade. So, which, you know, that's fair. That's fair. So I ended up watching on TV. And you know, to be honest, I thought about it, but, you know, you go to a parade, what are you going to do? You're going to, you know, drive down to Smithsonian Park and sit in the crowd with, like, you know, a million people and not see anything. So to me, you know, I was fine watching on television.
You know what, Kev? For the first time, I felt pretty good for the learners. A lot of the media will criticize the learners for being cheap and not wanting to spend money on their team. And maybe that's true to some degree. I know that was the criticism that resurfaced when Bryce Harper was in negotiation with the Nationals. But just to kind of see their passion and to see the family generations being represented there, it made me feel like, you know what? They do love the game of baseball and they are invested. Did that strike you as, I guess, that being the case when you were watching, or did you not really care about the learners? You were just excited in general.
No, I think they've been great owners, you know, and I think, unfortunately, they have gotten a little bit of a rap as being cheap, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, when you look at what they've done over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever, I mean, they signed Max Scherzer to the richest contract the pitcher's ever had at the time. You know, they wanted to give Bryce Harper, you know, $10 million, $100 million. He said no. I mean, but that average annual value is more than he got with the Phillies, you know, what he ultimately signed for. You know, I think the reason why maybe sometimes people say they're cheap is because they like to kind of do this deferral thing where they kind of pay you later on after you're done playing for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's probably more of just a smart, you know, business money move. I mean, they've spent up to the luxury tax pretty much every year. I mean, and that's, I think, we're over the luxury tax the last 2 years. And, you know, we're not sure. I think they might have just come under this year, but you know, we're still figuring out World Series bonuses and the people's salaries, whatever, whether or not they went over this year. But, you know, they've spent a lot of money. I mean, when you look at the Nats, they are, you know, probably the number four team in baseball over the last 5, 10 years in terms of spending money behind teams like the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Yankees, like huge mass market teams, you know, definitely bigger markets than D.C. So, I was happy for the learners. I think they really committed to spending on this team. And I do think sometimes they get a bad rap that's undeserved.
So speaking of the learners, they showed faith in Mike Rizzo over the course of the last, you know, I guess we can say 5 to 10 years. And Mike Rizzo made the decision largely to replace Dusty. A guy sitting to my left was not a fan of that. Of course, Davey Martinez, he got a lot of flack for some of the moves he made in his lineups and just some of, again, in-game decision-making with the bullpen. But it turned out that, again, he's now a World Series champion manager. How much credit does Mr. Davey Martinez deserve?
He deserves a lot of credit. I mean, everyone in baseball assumed he was going to get fired after they got swept by the Mets. It took them to that 19-31 point that everyone's mentioned. You know, it's kind of become a thing now. He deserves a ton of credit. You know, because to be honest, he wasn't so great last year. I mean, the team kind of underperformed last year. You know, the Harper free agency thing sort of took over last season, and it, you know, kind of became a sideshow about Bryce and not so much about the team. And, you know, they weren't so good starting the season this year, which, you know, to be fair, there were a lot of injuries. But he deserves a ton of credit because, you know, I remember after that Mets series ended, they were getting on an Amtrak, I think, to go back to D.C. And I mean, there were like bets, you know, people were like making, like on the Talk Nats site, people were making bets about when he'd be fired and not even like, he's going to be fired tonight. It was like you had to put it to time. I was like, oh, is he going to be fired at 7 or is he going to be fired at 7:15 or 8 or 8:15? I mean, everyone in the world assumed he was getting fired that night, you know. So, yeah, I mean, now he's a World Series champion manager. It's amazing. And, you know, we got to give him credit. And, you know, and when you look at the postseason run, there weren't too many bad decisions he made. I mean, he used the starting pitching expertly out of the bullpen. You know, there really wasn't you know, weren't too many things he did wrong. And obviously the guys like playing for him, and obviously they had a great chemistry. So yeah, no, congrats to Davia. He totally deserved it.
So would you say he out managed AJ Hinch, not just because they just, you know, they won the series, but just in case, I'm just saying as a manager, because he made a lot of key moves you mentioned in terms of using starters in the bullpen, his lineups, when to play certain players, also not to panic. You know what I mean? We saw AJ Hinch panic and taking out Greinke, mm-hmm. who looked like he was unstoppable. And just because Greinke gave up that one run, that home run, AJ Hinch was like, okay, it was time to, you know, make that move and make that change. But, you know, you look at somebody with Davey didn't panic. Even when engaged with Strasburg, gave up a run and looked like he was starting to get hit, he would still let Strasburg, you know, trying to finish out an inning. So would you say that Davey outmanaged AJ Hinch?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can argue it because, look at the bottom line is A.J. Hinch and even Dave Roberts. I mean, they had more talented mm-hmm. rosters than the Nats had. I mean, like, let's be honest, the Dodgers, the Nats, you know, if the Nats had played the Dodgers or the Astros 100 times, probably the Dodgers and the Astros win 90 and 100 times. You know, mm-hmm. they're just better teams top to bottom. I mean, the Nats top, you know, let's say the top 10-15 guys on the roster stack up, but you know, where those other teams had huge advantages, their last 10 guys are just better than the Nats' last 10 guys. That's just how it is. He definitely outmanaged them, and I definitely think pulling Greinke was a mistake. He was unhittable. I think when that inning started, you know, that seventh inning, he might have been at like 66 pitches or so. I mean, he literally started 10 pitches an inning. Soto had the one single, but literally, like, everything else was soft little ground balls back to the pitchers or weak pop flies. No one was hitting him. And, no one's really talked a lot about it, but, when I watched that game back, which I've done a lot in the last week, Frankie's holding, you can see it, before he throws Rendon that pitch, he's talking to the catcher, and he's, like, holding the ball out of his glove in a changeup grip. While he's talking, and he puts a ball in his glove and he throws a changeup. And sometimes I wonder if maybe he just tips to Rendon that he's going to throw a changeup, and Rendon's obviously a good enough hitter to put in the seats. And, you know, maybe Hinch overreacted to that. To be fair to Hinch, I do understand that you want to take the starter out before he loses the game. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, but if it was me, I would have left Greinke in. I mean, because really you just have, you know, that one Rendon home run and no one else could touch him.
Yeah.
So who knows?
So to stay on the whole Davey extension, you know, it's funny, like we mentioned, this is the same guy everybody wanted to get fired. Now, you know, Davey doesn't, you know, it's an opportunity for Davey to get an extension. This is last year in his deal. Should this team, you know, work this out now?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, I would extend. I think Rizzo might only have a year or two left too. I think their contracts are pretty similar. I think you got to extend both of them. I think they've obviously proven, you know, that they have a vision and an idea of what it's going to take to win a championship. And you know, what's kind of great for baseball is it's totally against some of the new school analytics, they kind of went old school. They went with starting pitching, good defense, you know, they did a lot of sacrifice bunts, which I'm not sure I always agreed with, but, you know, they did a little bit old school and, you know, but more than anything like that, you know, they were obviously able to put together a group of 25 guys who just really seemed to like playing with each other and had really great chemistry. And, you know, you can't fake that. You see that on TV. You know, we've all watched a million sports teams, but you know when a team has a special vibe and they obviously like playing together versus a team that's kind of faking it. And, you know, maybe some of the older Harper teams were faking it, you know, but I mean, obviously this team was special, you know, and I think it goes beyond the baby shark and some of that kind of fun stuff. But I mean, obviously you have to have a good manager to create an environment where that's going to work. Because, I mean, you know, if you're going to be honest, this team should not have won the World Series. There's no way on paper, if you're looking at it, that they should have beaten the Dodgers or the Astros. There's just no way. But they did. You know, so you got, you got to extend the guy.
Well, what's great is they got hot at the right time. But we're talking contract extensions. Obviously, Strauss opted out. All indications is that the Nats expected him to opt out, and they plan to rework a deal. My only concern is that Scott Boras is his agent. I feel like he's kind of got it out for the Nats for some reason. And you also have him representing Rendon as well. I mentioned this before. We came on the air. I said, if I'm Rizzo, I would let Rendon walk. I would find him for a third baseman over time, and I would throw the bag at Gerrit Cole, have the best starting lineup. I mean, the best, you know, group of starters in baseball.
And start rotation.
Starting rotation. Thank you, sir. That's what I would do, and I would live with it. I would let somebody else pay Rendon that money because he's going to obviously demand somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 plus. Over maybe, 7 years. I still think he has plenty of great baseball left in him, being, he's only 32. But what would you do, and what do you expect to happen this offseason?
I do expect to re-sign. I think, they'll probably get him at, I hope as a Nats fan, $5 and $150, so it's a $50 million raise. It might take $680 million. But, to me it's important. Strasburg's the one I feel like they have the best shot at keeping. I think he wants to stay. He's with his family here. He could have left 3 years ago when he was a free agent. He didn't. He was the MVP of the World Series. He comes back. It's going to be his locker room, his staff. He's kind of supplanted Max now as the number one. It doesn't make a lot of sense for him to move because the thing is, let's say he goes to the Padres. I know the Padres want to get him because he's from there. And, everyone, the Yankees, everyone. But, let's say he goes to the Padres, Yankees, whoever. They don't win a World Series that first 1 or 2 years. He's a failure.
Yeah.
He's right? So there's really – Strass is coming back. I think they're going to – he'll get a raise. I would be shocked if Strass doesn't come back. Rendon – is a different story. He's just he's an odd guy. He obviously doesn't talk a lot to the media, so you don't really know what he's thinking. I do think though, if the reports are true and the Nats offered him $7 years, $250 million, that's a bet. He might get a little more than that. Someone might go to $7,225 or,
really?
But I don't think he's going to get way more than that. That's a pretty good market deal for a guy who's turning 30 and you're going to pay him $30 million when he's 37 years old. So I think they're close, but to me, if I had to predict, I'd say they re-sign Strass. Maybe someone like Texas, they're opening a new ballpark. He's from there. Maybe they just go crazy and offer him $260 or something, in which case I would say the Nats should probably pass. Because the thing is, there are other third base options this year. You could get Mike Moustakas or Josh Donaldson. There are a few fallbacks if they lose Rendon. Where if they lose Strass, short of getting Gerrit Cole, there's really no fallback. There's no one else, that's gonna replace Strass other than Gerrit Cole. And to be honest, I think Gerrit Cole is gonna get crazy. He's gonna get 8 years, $260 million
Get crazy. He's gonna get a crazy amount.
Hopefully it's here.
Wait, Kevin, man, thanks for being on. Kevin, before I let you go, can you let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and also about Talk Nats?
Yeah, totally. Thank you. Go to talknats.com. It is the best community on the entire internet if you're a serious Nats fan. And we have a podcast. We haven't done it in a while, but I think we're going to do one really soon. Follow us on Twitter. It's @TalkNatsPodcast. And thanks a lot for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Kevin, thank you so much. And go Nats. Champions, man. World champs.
I can't believe it. It's amazing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. That's the man, the homie, Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats. Big Nats fan. And also, you heard the podcast, Talk Nats podcast. Make sure you check it out.
Yeah, we have more, but we just ran out of time.
Yeah,
Got to keep the show moving.
I got to keep it going. I want to say pay the bills, but that's a lie.
It's all good.
Anyway. What's my next segment? Okay, Haskins. Haskins.
It's all good.
Had his first start Sunday. We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Haskins.
we go.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. My mic's working now. I'm happy. My original mic's working now. I can talk normally. All right. The Washington Redskins lost to the Buffalo Bills 24-9 in his first. In his first start, Dwayne Haskins went 15 for 22 for 144 yards. Excuse me. Thoughts on his performance? Well, first off, what were you showing me, Ray? I'm sorry.
It's something we were talking about off air. Don't even trip, man.
No, it's cool. You showed me about.
Yeah, yeah. Paul was he lost to Carlos Quintana.
Okay. Before he fought Sergio.
Right, before he lost to Sergio. Oh, okay. That's what I thought. You know, okay. It's all good. Mm. We need a stat boy. Even the best get it wrong sometimes, including myself. My tongue was just tied a few minutes ago. But I want to first quickly shout out Bill Callahan because I feel as though he developed a good game plan for Dwayne Haskins to feel more comfortable and be successful. A lot of out routes, a lot of underneath. Also, he inserted the screen game, which I feel as though it helped Dwayne Haskins because what I feel right now from him is, in addition to the speed of the game he needs to get adjusted to, he's just nervous. That's at least what I get from the way he plays and his body language. And I was sharing with you before we came on the air that I've been following him since his senior year in high school when he moved to this area. And when he's good, of course, he's really good. He's accurate. That out route to McLaurin along the sideline, perfect throw. Mm-hmm. Even the near touchdown he threw to Paul Richardson. I mean, obviously, the pass was broken up. Just a good defensive play on Buffalo's part. But that was a very good throw. But when he's bad, he holds the ball too long. In the NFL so far, it looks like he struggles with his progression. That's something that he was good at with Ohio State. And then he also, he seems to throw the ball high, if I did not already say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's late when he makes the mistakes.
Uh-huh.
So that's something that is going to need to be worked on in the offseason. I hope he has the work ethic to actually get the job done. He also needs a coach who's going to come in, who when he interviews, whoever this he is that interviews for this Redskins job is going to have to say, one of my number one objectives is to develop Dwayne Haskins. And then who are you going to bring in the offseason? Because I feel like right now, I'm not saying the receiving corps is bad. I don't want that argument again.
No, you're right.
The weapons for him to make him successful, I don't think the Redskins currently have it. And I say that too because there are some quarterbacks, the Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, as soon as they step on the field,
you already know.
They're making their team better. They're making the teammates better. Agreed. Dwayne Haskins needs the right pieces around him in order to succeed because he has the physical tools, but right now the supporting cast just is not tailored to his strengths.
You didn't say anything wrong.
Okay, I'm just making sure I didn't insult you because I do like Trey Quinn.
No,
but
I don't like Trey Quinn. I'm honest. Like,
he needs a possession receiver. He needs a guy who can go get the ball.
I think when you're looking at quarterbacks, like you mentioned, like if you're looking at a veteran quarterback, you don't need ballers everywhere. But when you got a young quarterback, it's good to have ballers. It makes life easy. Look at Kansas City. They got Mahomes. He's still good. Mahomes is great. He's great. And you see what's going on with Moore, right? Kansas City, they got Hill, Sammy Watkins Jr. You got Kelsey. You got weapons. It makes life easy, man.
Yeah, he had Kareem Hunt before that.
Yeah, so it makes life easy, right? So you get Dwayne, like, you're relying, and I think this is your point. I think I failed to kind of understand it at the time, but now I kind of, when looking back, I do see it. Like you're relying on a rookie wide receiver to be like your number one. You're putting way too much pressure on one dude when you have everything else. Like you need so much for a rookie quarterback to play well. Like you need a tight end. You need a number one, and then you need a number two that can get open easy. You can't make everything so difficult. Everything can't be so difficult. You want things to be easy. Look at the Giants, right? You got a tight end. Like a tight end is like is a quarterback's best friend. Look at you got Ingram, who runs like a 4.43, makes life easy for Daniel Jones. So you just need more weapons. And for Dwayne Haskins to take it to the next level, in terms of growing as a quarterback, he's gonna need more weapons. It's not just you can't just rely on Terry McLaurin and think that he's gonna be the guy that just to hold it down. I like Terry McLaurin a lot. Ray knows this, everybody knows this. But he's not like he's Julio Jones. It's not like he's A.J. Green. It's not like he's Antonio Brown. He's not a guy. At this point in time in his career, he's not that guy, okay? He can be a number one, but he's still putting too much pressure on him to be that guy. Ray's an Atlanta Falcons fan. When Julio Jones broke into the scene, still at that time, Julio was great, but you had Roddy White. Roddy White took a lot of pressure off Julio. Antonio Gonzalez, right? So you didn't say, hey, Julio, carry my core. No, Roddy White was still good enough to help carry that core. Tony Gonzalez was still good enough. What happened? Eventually, Julio Jones, you know, with seasoning, got to be that dude. You're putting so much pressure on a rookie wide receiver to be that dude for a rookie quarterback. That's too much. So, yeah, he's going to need a lot. He's going to need some help in terms of weapons. In terms of his progression, I think he got better. I like that. When I look at, to me, I'm all about progression in terms of what I saw earlier. He's got better. He's 15 for 22. I like the game plan because, again, I'm not all for putting so much on his plate to air it out. Everyone's like, he should air it out. Air it out to what? It goes back to my initial point. To what? To a rookie wide receiver and that's it? Like, you don't have a tight end. You don't have – to what? This team doesn't have the weapons enough for him to air it out. So when you look at what he had to work with against a good Buffalo Bills defense who shut down, who held down even Tom Brady, you know what I mean? Like, this dude doesn't have the weapons. I thought his game was fine. I don't have an issue with the game planning.
That's the best game he's played.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with anything that happened against the Bills. They were supposed to lose the game. All right, they're not better than the Bills. Well, the Bills' defense is better. And the weapons aren't lethal enough for them to scare the Bills. But I will say this, what Ray's referring to in terms of when he missed passes, yeah, he missed high. And we've seen that with Dwayne. Yes. When he's not accurate, he misses high.
And I was saying that McNabb missed low, but yeah. McNabb was still good. I think McNabb had a stronger arm. But
oh yeah, he's way stronger.
You look at the supporting cast at Ohio State. You know, I was telling you about this off the air. KJ Hill,
yeah,
Austin Mack,
mm-hmm.
Benjamin Victor, who stands 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
If you throw it high, your receiver can go up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
Another issue is the Big Ten. As fast as the Big Ten is, and you're a Big Ten fan. It's not the NFL. The speed of the NFL, it cannot simulate.
It's not even SEC speed. Big Ten is not even fast like the SEC.
And the tackling in college is horrible. Yeah. He might throw a screen and it goes for a 60-yard touchdown. That pads your stats and you look really good. But when you get to league, no, of course that's not going to work. The one thing I also like is the running game. Adrian Peterson has been used effectively. You mentioned ATL earlier.
Mm.
Michael Turner was balling.
Yeah,
when Julio Jones was drafted.
Michael Turner, and it made
Julio's job so much easier. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you don't really have guys who can create separation, and that is a huge problem. How are you supposed
what
to help
about,
for Washington?
Wide receivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, other than McLaurin. That's it.
And you got music playing, by the way.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
I can't hear nothing.
A little bit, but it's okay.
Okay.
So that's why I'm looking at the offseason. I do think, because I'm going to go back on something I said earlier, and I know that George listens often. We both agreed that just don't play him this season. But you almost had no choice because of injuries. However, now that I watch this game right here, I think he's going to gain some invaluable experience that you just can't put a price tag on because he's in, you know, real game situations,
mm-hmm.
on the road. Tough crowd, Buffalo Bills, tough defense. You know, soon he'll hopefully get a chance to play because I heard they're mulling whether he's going to continue to start.
Like, yeah.
But if you continue to allow him to play, you allow him to play in some cold weather games. Just let him get these experiences now that he's in.
Yeah.
It'll help him for next year. So that way there won't be an adjustment to the speed of the game next season. It'll just be a matter of acclimating to your guys. And again, I think it goes to who you hire as coach and also who you acquire free agency wise and in the draft. You need to make sure you place weapons around this kid that will help his attributes to come out and to me, to make him look good and to give him more confidence, because right now, again, he just seems scared. He looks like he's not comfortable out there. And according to the reports, Adrian Peterson, I know, got mad, but he pretty much got on him. You need to study your playbook.
Yeah.
I was sitting here mulling to myself, who can he work out with or who can mentor him in the offseason? Should it be some ex-Ohio State guys? Zeke is a hard worker.
Well, Sean Springs mentors him.
Sean Springs.
He mentors
that's a good one.
He does mentor. He does
Adrian Peterson would be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody who's going to help you, you know, your nutrition,
mm-hmm.
Your workouts. Also helping you to learn to gain continuity with your receivers. He's going to need a lot of help, I think, this offseason. I hope, again, that he's teachable because he's arrogant. He's been arrogant.
I know that I do. I mean, I can see it. I mean, I don't want to call him arrogant. I don't want to do that, but I know what you're talking about, though. I'm going to put it that. I know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to call him what it is. Max Kellerman called him arrogant, too, but in a good way. He said, I love his confidence.
He got swag. He has swag, and
he's been like that. Like I said, mm-hmm. nothing has changed except now you're not succeeding. Up until this point, he has been the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made amazing plays. He had amazing comebacks in games against Penn State, Michigan. I mean, he put up some of his best numbers. He looked great, but again, this is a whole new level and it's a whole new set of challenges. And that's the thing that's going to, it's going to hopefully propel him to make some changes, including your attitude to say, you know what? I need to humble myself and I need to be teachable. I need to learn. He also, in my opinion, I don't know if you can change this, needs to work on his throwing motion, if you ask me. I just feel like, you know, it's kind of from the side. It's a little low. I feel like he could bring it up a bit. And he needs to make quicker decisions. Also, go through your progressions, which he did great in college, by the way. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he was able to do that with no issues, go to his second, third read. Now, again, because maybe he's nervous, he's just trying to get rid of the ball, but he holds on to it. And he just seems confused at times out there by, you know, either NFL defenses or just the speed of the game.
Yeah, hopefully it changes, man. Hopefully something. I mean, hopefully he plays. That's all I care about. Hopefully he plays and gets more clock. But let's move to Wizards talk. IT is now the starting point guard for the Wizards. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss how that will impact the Wizards after break. Listen to Urban Sports saying for ages. Yet it doses.
Yeah, I've been waiting to tell them about this country. I'ma learn you. You ready? Luda. Let me tell you about these old school Chevys. Cadillacs, SS Impalas. If you spoke in then we got more sacks than Troy Polamalu. Yo, partners want some totas. My partners want some keys. In Atlanta, we get that paper. Can you hate us? Say cheese. 10,000 wide am. 6'15" kickers. My trunk rumbling like it injected. Shots like a stripper. No insurance on these whips. Tags all outdated. I might not be.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, myself, Wole. Will T is out. Last night in a victory over the Detroit Pistons, 115-99, the Washington Wizards head coach Scott Brooks finally decided to start Isaiah Thomas at point guard. How did he play to you?
He's a high volume shooter, and he's going to bring that swag to the starting lineup. Also demand that attention that is currently primarily placed on Bradley Beal. I do feel as though, to some degree, he could potentially hurt the development of Rui, because Rui started out hot. Did you see the game last night?
No.
He started out hot and with no hesitation. I'm talking about Rui Hachimura.
Yeah, I saw a stat line. He shoot the ball a lot, though.
5 of 7, 12 points, and second half, he pretty much got nothing. And I'm not saying that's all IT's fault. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying if there's a negative side to it, that would be it for me. However, again, what IT's bringing to the table is just a great mid-range and a great long-range jump shot. He's great on the exterior. He's confident. He's going to take some attention off of Bradley Beal. Defensively, as a team, the Wizards are not good, and he does not necessarily help that. Yeah. However, I'm encouraged that Scott Brooks really sat down and had a film session with all players to focus in specifically on the defensive end. Again, I don't know where IT can help you there, but the change had to be made because, again, he's coming off the bench. He's scoring easily 16 points right off the bench.
Yeah.
And Ish Smith does not give you what he gives you offensively, again, from the long range. So I'm thinking that if you continue to keep him in the starting lineup, you'll see the Wizards continue to score 100 plus offensively right now. For real, I know where the game is going, but they're maybe top 10 offensive teams in the league right now. Thomas Bryant looks good. His shot always looks good. Again, Rui's playing well. Right now, there's not really a weakness offensively on the starting lineup when you include IT. Mm-hmm. It's just defensively is what I'm concerned about. But regardless of whether it's IT's in the lineup or not, you're going to be worried about their defense.
So give me a scenario. I'm going to give you a scenario for it real quick. So if IT is IT, right, in a tight game, because you know he's been in Boston, he was like missed the fourth quarter. Who you get the ball to? If he's IT, not a lesser version. If he's IT, who you get the ball to down the stretch, Beal or IT?
Well, I think you have the game plan for that. If Beal is willing to defer right now, I don't think he is. I think he's commanding the ball. This is his group, and he's so much better as a ball handler now. He's getting to the cup.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to Brad. Even if IT is IT, this is still Brad's team.
Yeah.
You are still kind of coming back from an injury, and I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
But regardless of what version of IT it is, he's still recovering. He still is someone that you have to be careful with because of the rash of injuries he's experienced over the last 3 years. I definitely keep Bradley Beal, with the keys in his hand, unless IT is just playing lights out right now. I mean, he's getting back to form, but Bradley Beal is still your best player right now. But for real, it's going to be Rui eventually. I'm just saying. It's going to be Rui. With Scott Brooks, the way he develops players, come on, man. Look at Oubre right now.
Man, that's you can say that's That's Phoenix. Not Scott Brooks.
Bro. He hasn't even been in Phoenix a full year yet.
Man, I'm not against Scott Brooks any
props. Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams.
No, don't do that.
Russell Westbrook
is the only one.
Whoa.
No, Serge.
James Harden.
No, James Harden was better.
He was always a beast.
No, I am always good, but come on now. You can't put Scott Brooks on James. That's like saying Scott Brooks made Kevin Durant. Like, no, I'm not going to do that.
From NBA standpoint, Kevin Durant was he was an all-around player.
No, he got better in the league, though.
Come on now.
He got better. No, Kevin Durant was Kevin Durant. I'm going to be real. Like, there's certain people that are good regardless. I give you Westbrook because you're looking in college. In college, Westbrook wasn't the dude that we saw in college. Like, he was a better player. OKC was Scott Brooks. But James Harden was scoring 26 in Arizona State. He was already a scorer. Same with Kevin Durant. I'm not going to give credit for Scott Brooks for those two.
I don't think that's fair. I think in this example, because you're not a Scott Brooks fan, you're going to argue with
no,
me.
No, I've always said like, that, though. I'm fair. I'm fair.
I'll give you an example. Duke recruits a lot of
Hold on. Yeah, I'm with you.
But you could easily say, well, you know what? He was already good when he got there. But Coach K gets credit for developing people, correct?
I don't give Coach K. Come on. No, it's Kyrie Irving. No, I think Kyrie Irving was a better player.
Oh, my gosh. He helped Kyrie Irving become a better player, though.
I don't think so. Again, I don't give – there's certain talent. There's certain talented players I'm not going to give. I think Zion – I'll give Coach K credit for Zion. I think he made Zion a better basketball player. I don't think he made...
He makes a lot of people better basketball
players. I'm just saying, like, when you're telling me, like, certain players come into the league, that's like saying any... All right, so give me a... Who was a rookie of the year player?
We got to wrap this up.
I know we do. We'll get back to it another time.
But
you know what I mean, though, right?
Okay. Last thing, and then we'll go.
Yeah.
The Lakers obviously had a pool of talent, but until Phil got there to put them over the top, coaches matter, bro.
Coaches do matter. Scott Brooks matters. Yeah, coaches matter. No, coaches matter. But you know, talent is talent.
Kevin Durant obviously is talented, but I'm just saying. You can't act like he didn't play no role.
I'm just saying, player development.
Seattle/OKC wasn't going to the playoffs. They grew up. They got better under their coach.
Like Jeff Green's the same Jeff Green. I don't know. Certain things, certain players, certain coaches. When we're talking about making players better, I don't know. Certain people are just talented. But anyway.
Wizards everything. We're going to have a special.
We'll have an old friend on the show finally to talk about the Washington Capitals after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
You just don't like Brooks. Got royalty inside my DNA. Court of peace, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate conception, I transform like this. Perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks, they carpet, tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA.
Oh man, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Bust Up Ole. We'll tease out right now.
Let's talk Adam Oates.
Huh? Adam Oates.
Let's talk somebody who you like that's a coach.
Right now we have WNXT's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. What's up, Ed? How are you, man?
Not Adam Oates, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm doing well. It's always good to talk to you two guys.
Always a pleasure, man. So we got DC's a title town now. What's going on?
Well, you have to love the romance between the Caps and the Nats. That was something. Huh? Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch. And you guys know I was an Orioles guy, but
that's not happening.
In college at Maryland in '83. But anyways, Zimmerman and Scherzer came to the game last year against Vegas in the finals, and they dressed up in the full gear and they did the "Let's Go Caps chant. Uh-huh. They got me. They got me right then. I was in on those guys.
Yes, sir.
I was never a Harper guy. I was never a Bryce Harper
guy.
Neither.
Neither, Ed. I wasn't a Harper guy either.
And the minute they got rid of him The minute they got rid of Harper, I'm like, okay, I'm in on these guys. Mm-hmm. And what a story. I mean, when Scherzer had that, the June he had, I think, what, 6-0 in June, mm-hmm. ERA, like, barely over one, I'm like, okay, these guys got something going here. And you could just see it reminded all of us a lot of the Capitals Stanley Cup run, just the way they came together, and they, mm-hmm. you know, they'd fight back, they'd find ways to exercise the demons that they had, because they had never won a playoff series this season. They had all the pressure in the world on them, and they did it, and it was a lot of fun, and Adam Eaton certainly pulled me in along the way, because he's a huge hockey fan, a Chicago guy, and just a fun group, and just the way they bonded, and a lot, and the dugout celebrations, a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this. It was nice to fall back in love with baseball again.
All right, Ed, I appreciate that, man, and especially from a Baltimore guy. It's beautiful, considering I'm sitting next to an Orioles fan. Already the discussion around town is, can this team repeat? The Caps last season had a good opportunity. They blew it. I remember it was you on our show saying, man, they wouldn't have had to go through Boston. They wouldn't have been able to, you know, relatively have a easier path to a Stanley Cup last season. But again, that didn't happen. They're already in first place in the Eastern Conference this season. You know, how are you feeling currently? I know it's early, but you got to be thinking a potential title based on what they've already achieved.
Well, I think they're definitely ahead of my expectations at this point, considering Kuznetsov missed the first three games because of his drug problem. Kempney, the big one was Kempney. Yeah, that was well. That explains a lot from last year, right? How many times did we talk about how he was a yo-yo last year? Yeah. You know, up and down.
Yeah.
But hopefully he's got his act cleaned up, and you know, Kempney coming back was big because it really started slotting the guys in the right spot on defense. We saw when he went out with that injury against Tampa. We saw the drop off in the defense, and the defense is still a work in progress. If you're going to win the cup, and my last blog out of WNST, actually my only one of the year because I'm so busy coaching my kids' team.
Oh wow!
I only got a chance to write about the team, and I think the defense, if they can bring that together, in the last two games they've given up a total of three goals, so that's encouraging. They can improve their team defense. They can play with anybody because they have all the weapons.
Are we having some technical difficulties?
Hey, I think so. Hold on.
I know Ed is still on the line while we wait for Ed. Right now, the Caps leading the NHL in points.
I think Eddie, are you there?
Ed, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay. Sorry, we were having some technical difficulties. You kind of already alluded to it, though. We're just trying to figure out what has really contributed to this team's hot start, leading the NHL in points currently. Is there anything else that you can add to that before we kind of move on?
Yeah, I think the reason they're winning early, outside of the last two games is, well, actually, they've still been doing it. They've scored a lot of goals.
Yeah.
They're a very talented team up front, and they have very good depth up the middle of the ice. The moves Brian McClellan made in the offseason to revamp the third and fourth line seem to be paying off, at least most of them. Richard Panik's been hurt. We haven't seen much of him. But at the end of the day, Backstrom's motivated. You know, he's up for a new contract. Ovechkin's in fantastic shape again.
Yeah.
And we're seeing all the hard work that Jacob Verana has been putting in.
Yeah, I want to talk about him.
He's exploded with five goals in two games. So they have a lot of talent up front, as you guys well know.
I wanted to talk about Verana. He's stepping up, like you mentioned. And how important is to have him teamed up with Kuznetsov in that second line?
It's really important. That's a really good point because – that's the speed line, right? You look at Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie. None of those guys are fast.
Yeah.
So that's why they're together, because their speeds are similar. You go to that second line, and then you got Kuznetsov and Verana, and even Tom Wilson, he can skate. You've got a fast line. You've got Wilson out there that's really good in the defensive zone and powerful. And that is a line that's scary. And when Verana's on, and Verana's really, he works hard in practice. He's probably one of the hardest working guys on the team. And he's starting to get rewarded for that because he's going to the net. He's shooting the puck. And Kuznetsov, I thought his game against the Flames on Sunday night was the best game he's played in probably back to the beginning of last year when Kuznetsov started out like a house of fire before he got into his problem. So that was very encouraging as well with Kuznetsov. So I really like that second line, and I don't see any way they can break that up. That top six the Capitals have is really loaded.
That's good. It's good to hear because they definitely knew that after what we saw last season, especially with the injuries down the stretch. So the Caps, you know, they may have another goalie situation. Holtby, who in your opinion, your opinion, who's better, Holtby or Samsonov?
Well, I think Holtby is. I mean, Holtby, you know, where they are right now, Holtby's got the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Samsonov's first year in the league, and he's going to be good. He's an inch taller than Braden, I think 2 pounds bigger. So it's really not, you know, Samsonov plays big. He's very good, but he's still learning technique. And I think he's eventually going to be the number one goalie. But let's be honest, they're not winning a cup without Braden Holtby playing like he did in 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. Your goalie has to be your best player. We saw it with the Blues last year. Jordan Binnington comes out of nowhere. He's the man. When the Kings won, it was quick. You know, Patrick Wall with the Canadians. You know, I had a feeling you guys were going to ask me about the goaltending tonight. So
no
I was thinking
way.
About it. I was like, you guys, hey, goaltending is the key to hockey, right?
It is. It is. Especially playoff, especially in the playoffs, your goalie's carrying.
That's right.
That's what wins.
And I knew, I said, I know Wally and Ray are going to ask me about the goaltending. So I was thinking, when was the last time I can think of a rookie goalie winning the cup? Mm-hmm. And I think it was Patrick Waugh in 86.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely doable. But, you know, Holtby's obviously very motivated. I know his numbers aren't very good right now. But that's a factor, and I wrote about this. The problem was their defense. As we talked about, Kempe was out.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was very loose. And they were giving up a lot of golden chances. And in the game against Buffalo last Friday night, I counted 6 quality chances against the Caps in the first period. They were lucky that Connor Sheary hit the post on one, but then Holtby made 4 or 5 quality chance saves. So he's still the guy. And, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs. We saw it the year they won the Cup. But if the Capitals can get that team defense right, they're going to be really set because Samsonov is very good. He's 5-0 in net.
Yeah.
I think Reardon's done a good job about when he plays them. He's spotting them pretty well. They're loaded in net, and Holtby's motivated to play well. It's a money year for him. We'll see what he does. But if he falters, I got no problems with going to Samsonov. But you want the experience in the playoffs. But as I said, Patrick Waugh did it in 86, so it's doable.
Well, Ed, man, thanks for being on. Before we let you go, excuse me, how can our listeners check out, check you out on WNST's, your content on WNXT, and also how can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, social media, at Ed Frankovic on Twitter. I'm usually talking about hockey most of the time. I'll chime in on, you know, pro football a little bit here there, golf. You know, I'm a big Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus fan, so I'm always watching golf.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's where you can find me there. And my blog's out at WNSC.net. I link them all on my Twitter feed.
Awesome.
And, hey, you guys hit me up anytime you want me back. I appreciate the early season call to talk a little bit. The team's off to a good start. Let's hope they keep it going.
Definitely. Next time I want to talk about Oshie because I think that he's very important. I really want to talk about him. We're running out of time. That's a guy I really wanted to talk about.
Oh, I love that. You know I love the Osh, man.
Yeah,
and he's 8 goals, and he's just a heart and soul guy,
mm-hmm.
and he knows how to drink a Bud Light through a shirt,
sure
too. So.
And he was very missed during that playoff run. Playoff run last season, he was missed big time.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. He hit the nail on the head. That was probably when the series ended when he got hurt.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. Well, Ed, thanks again.
Hey, anytime, you guys. Right. Hit me up anytime. You know that.
Yo, thank you.
You're welcome.
That is Ed Frankovic.
Always WNXT, good stuff. Always
man.
Good stuff.
Always great stuff, man. Definitely Caps Insider for WNXT. So make sure you follow him at Ed Frankovic on Twitter. All right. Is Canelo Alvarez the best boxer in the game? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Up the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink. This my day. Lucky you, how you do? Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room, give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about the shoot? Y'all gotta move.
y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall, turn my back on you all and you finish. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job, put my mask out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's just back to the pushing, these taxing, I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically fucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen, I told them the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jammies, a partridge, a pitcher.
You're listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Ole, Will T's out. Canelo Alvarez, TKO, Sergey Kovalev in the 11th round to become the WBO light heavyweight champion. Your thoughts on that fight?
I mentioned this before we went on air, and I'll say it again, that Kovalev, his jab, while effective from a pure boxing standpoint, if I'm saying this correctly, was great. He scored points, and he definitely stuck to his game plan. I hope I didn't already say that, but
no, I don't think you did.
Because it's all about Canelo Alvarez coming forward. Kovalev was not hurting Canelo, in my opinion, at all. Mm-hmm. And Canelo was simply just going to his body. I said this too. Teddy Atlas said it best. Canelo Alvarez looked like the bigger fighter and felt like he was the bigger fighter, and he just kept coming forward, and he was determined to knock Kovalev out. And as Kovalev has been a pattern in his career, he gassed out. Mm-hmm. But it was a brutal knockout, though. Like, he wasn't getting up from that. And the fact that he's knocking out light heavyweights, kind of how he knocked out Kirkland, mm-hmm. bro, it's like Canelo is the best in the game, period. Mm-hmm. To be a title holder in four weight classes, and it's still questioned, is he the greatest Mexican fighter? I'm like, please,
that's hard.
What, because Chavez? That's the only guy that right now people...
Does Oscar count?
Yeah, but he's better than Oscar. Come on. It depends on the argument. Yeah. You're either with Oscar or you're against Oscar.
I know, it is. Real
like,
talk.
I'm an Oscar guy.
I like Oscar.
I'm an Oscar guy, but Canelo? Come on, bro.
I mean, Canelo to me, his resume is starting to speak volumes, the real talk.
Heck yeah, and he holds the cards, bro.
He won four titles, four different weights. He's a light heavyweight champ. I mean, Kovalev isn't a bum. Like, let that be known.
Nah, Kovalev, some will argue, beat Andre Ward.
Yeah, some will argue beat Andre Ward. So
once.
I mean, I think he didn't, but still, yeah, folks would argue that.
You're a boxing purist.
Yeah, so, but at the same time, I'm with you, Ray. I think Kovalev, to me, if you look at resume in terms of today's boxers, yeah, he may be, to me, he's pound for pound the best.
Kovalev is a big puncher, though.
Yeah, he's a big puncher.
Again, that's what I'm saying. He was walking him down the whole fight.
Yeah.
And I like the jab, but at first, because I'm looking at it, you know, when the fight starts, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. to tell the tape, he's obviously got the height advantage. But to me, that didn't matter. But the reach, I thought, was going to be an issue.
Kovalev was jabbing, boxing. And you cannot. He was boxing. Kovalev was boxing. And he was winning rounds. Like you say, he was winning rounds. But Canelo didn't care. Canelo was going for the damage.
And I see Dan Raphael tweeting. I see Dan Raphael tweeting like he felt like it was a close fight up until the knockout. To me, Canelo clearly was winning the fight.
But a lot of people had Kovalev win the fight.
I see that, but I'm just saying, how though? Because he was landing
because
a good jab.
Because he was boxing.
Exactly. That Tyson Fury bullcrap. Yeah. But no, dude, it all depends on who's fighting.
Yeah,
that's how I look at it, uh-huh. And it's so unfair.
Yeah.
Because we talk about, you know, people dictating fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when Canelo fought Triple G,
yeah,
many said he dictated the fight.
Yeah.
And this is why he won.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of individuals who think Triple G won. But yeah, it was the same way against Jacobs. Canelo dictated the pace. He was coming forward. He's such a good fighter for us, the fans.
Yeah. Oh, for the fans, he's very fun to watch. He's amazing.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know that factors into me, into the judge's decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's coming in a champion, you know, already in different weight classes. I feel as though he had the upper hand, but again, it's debatable. I understand. I will not at all argue that. I just feel as though there's nobody out there that has the resume he has. So how can we even question if he's pound for pound
king?
Look,
man, everybody loves, you know, I love Errol Spence. You know, people love Crawford. But at the end of the day, when you look at Canelo's resume, it is what it is. To me, he's the best boxer in the game. He beat Triple G when everybody thought Triple G was that dude. He beat Triple G. He beat Kovalev, a guy that pushed Andre Ward to the brink. People thought Andre Ward was pound for pound one of the best boxers in the game. So Kovalev to me, Canelo, to me, if we're being fair, right, and judging someone's resume, is the best boxer in the game right now. And I don't think, and if you want to argue it, it's because you're just biased to a situation. You're biased to that boxer. But at the same, I mean, when you're looking at what Canelo has done, other than losing to pound for pound, one of the greatest ever to do it, in Mayweather, Canelo's been that dude.
Now, you swear every now you're right when it comes to boxing or whatever. I think you recently proven yourself better as a baseball guy. I'm glad we had Kevin on earlier so you couldn't just like gloat the whole time. But I would have. I got to respect it though.
Yeah, I would have.
But going back to boxing though, like somebody like Armand, if he was on, he probably could tell us how long Canelo has left on his contract with Golden Boy, because you know he's gone.
He knows that, yeah. He's gone once his contract is up.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, with the contract he has with DAZN, what is he going to do next in terms of
boxing management? Oh, can we talk about DAZN real quick, though? Like, that was like the worst promoted fight I've ever seen in my life. In terms of somebody's good Canelo.
You wouldn't even know Canelo was
I didn't
fighting.
Know Canelo was fighting Kovalev at all. Till Will had texted me. Bruh, and you know, I mean, I'm a Canelo dude. I'm like, yo, like, I thought that fight was supposed to happen like in December.
DAZN
needs to step up.
Well, you know, they were a little bit upset with him though, because they wanted the Triple G trilogy. Bottom line, they didn't get it, and they had to flex their muscle a little bit. But I like the fact that they waited for the UFC event to end. Mm-hmm. I think that was dope. So shout out to DAZN. We're not paying for it yet anyway. So
we're
screw
not.
You, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Great show, Wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, Wole, my bad.
You know, we'll make our week.
Oh, gosh, we ain't made that yet?
Yeah, we'll do that right now. We'll make
that
our week
is
NFL.
Terrible. It's 9 o'clock, bro.
I told you overtime.
We're
you
screwed.
Hear what I said?
We're screwed. That's
we'll
why
we'll make our week 10 NFL.
It's not my
after
fault.
The break. You're listening to the Urban
Sports. It's not my
saying,
fault. Hey, you already you know did. Who I'm talking about.
Deuces.
What's up, Chuck?
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, myself Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will Tease Out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick 'em games with them. Here's what we did in week 9. Ray went 10-4, I went 6-8, and Will T went 5-9. Here are our overall records. Ray is set in first at set with 79-55. I'm 76-58. Will T's last place 75-59.
It changes every freaking week.
I know, right?
Who cares?
Here are
Will
the records.
T does. He talked all this junk last week. I wasn't even on the show, but
here are the records from the Football Garbage Time Mob. Scott is 87-47. Hakun Wong is 86-48. Joanne is 76-58. And Ryan in last place is 73-61. The homie George is 84-50. All right. Here we go. Week 10. Chargers, Raiders.
Chargers.
I got the Chargers. Lions, Bears.
Lions.
I have the... I want to say I have the... Do I have the Bears? I want to say the Bears. Hold on. Where's my phone at? I'm going to go with the Bears.
I can't believe that you didn't know.
Because you know what changes? Like, when I look at these picks, and then when I do it myself...
I'm going to rock with Detroit. The Bears just don't have enough offense right now.
Yeah, you know what? I picked the Bears. I got the Bears,
okay,
actually.
Cool.
Ravens, Bengals.
I got the Ravens.
I got the Ravens. Bills, Browns.
It's a tough one, but I'm going to take Cleveland and upset.
Me too. I'm taking the Browns, too. Chiefs, Titans.
I got the Titans.
I have the Chiefs. Falcons, Saints.
Got the Saints.
I have the Saints. Giants, Jets.
I got the Jets.
The Jets. You got to change your name. Cardinals, Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay.
I have the Bucks. Dolphins, Colts.
I got the Colts.
I have the Colts.
Is Brissett playing, though?
Good point.
Crap, I got to change my
name. Man, I'm not sure.
Who is the Dolphins, Colts, right?
The Dolphins, Colts. The Dolphins. I'm not picking the Dolphins.
Okay.
Panthers, Packers.
Packers.
I have the Packers. Got the Packers too. Jeez. Rams, Steelers.
Got the Steelers.
Got the Rams. Thank you. You got some changes. Vikings, Cowboys.
I got the Cowboys. You know that. Vikings. You're picking the Vikings. Of course. You picked the Giants to beat the Cowboys. You're crazy.
It would have been if they called some penalties. They didn't call those dumb penalties. Excuse me. Those fake line penalties. Seahawks, Niners.
Seahawks.
I got the Seahawks as well. Let's see what Will T pick. Will T pick.
Your man Ryan got better than Wally up there, but he's like last place right now.
Yeah, last place is right.
It's rough out here.
It's rough out here in these streets, man. All right, Will T picked the Chargers, the Lions, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Jets, the Bucks, the Colts, the Packers, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Seahawks, and the Patriots.
Okay, we got the same crap too, except for a couple games. Good gracious.
The Patriots. The Patriots, man.
Where you get the Patriots from?
Where you get the Patriots from?
He used the old Texas Rangers.
Where you get the Patriots from?
Yeah, the Patriots will not lose this week, really. You're right about that.
They're not even playing.
He tried to cheat. Hey, he tried to get an extra one.
I know. I'm trying to. I'm looking like Patriots.
Who did
the Patriots for?
Who did he pick? Cleveland versus Buffalo. Who did he pick?
The Bills.
Oh, he got the Bills. Okay, I got Cleveland. All right, that's fine. I just want to make sure.
Did I miss a game? Am I exaggerating, Ray?
Lake showdown by a dub. No, you ain't missed no game. I got them all 19, right here.
Actually, not a dub, dog. 17. Do math right. Don't try to carry my squad, bro. I see what you're trying to do, man. Don't try to troll my squad.
Nah, Seattle was the last game, bro. San Fran, that's Monday Night Football.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what he.
Because Dallas and Minnesota Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know what Will T doing, man.
There's no Patriots game this week.
Man, poor Will T. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. All right, man, this has been a banging show. I'm proud of my man Ray.
I appreciate my man Kevin coming through with the honesty. He said, "Why am I doing this?" It was freaking hilarious. Show started off hilarious today.
It sure did, man. But thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.